It is somehow November 1st, 2020. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast.
Oh, nice. I don't even know if that
I don't have a can to pop tonight. It is also November 1st in 2021, and I want you to check me on the date for the year, because from what I understand, people are currently unironically listening to and enjoying the new Limp Bizkit album, and it is driving me bonkers seeing people posting about it.
I had no idea that was even a thing.
Yes, it is. I don't understand, because I don't know, like... I like to have... Anyway, I'm Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley. Mr. Fred Durst himself. Dan James could not be with us tonight. At least two of us were able to do it. So anyway, I look at music reviews a good bit, whether that's like Pitchfork or Kerrang or whatever, a lot of like heavy music reviews. And I've been seeing people like positively reviewing Limp Bizkit Sucks. I think that's the name of the album.
No.
It's like, what year is it? I feel like Robin Williams and Jumanji every time I see one of those things.
You got to give them love for the album title, if that's what it is, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's called Limp Bizkit Sucks, is what
that's
it's called.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in with us. It has been a while. It has just been a deluge of scheduling conflicts and what have you.
We recorded one after the international break, and then we've been on a break for a couple weeks, right? Is that how that shook out?
It was, you guys streamed, we streamed, I guess, beginning of last week or 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago. Yeah. It was right before the NYCFC game.
Oh, yeah. Same, but different than the TFC game. Yeah.
Yeah. We figured we'd just wait, because at this rate, it's inevitable for Atlanta to blow a lead in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a it's been a hard like 2 weeks. Yeah, it's it is a tie. It wasn't a loss.
True.
Thank you guys, Ellie Beaven, Brittany S, Kendrick Brock, the faithful homies, as it were, the ones who get the notification on their phones and pop in, because God knows we don't post anything on social media anymore.
Yeah, we've been pretty busy, man. I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion about what you've been busy with. How's dad life treating you?
It's good, man. Yeah, we got done. Actually, Angie's finishing putting Florence down. We did bath time, just expedited bedtime routine on a Monday night. Me going to work and coming home, and just everything gets compressed, but everything's good. Yeah. First Halloween yesterday. Got to see you guys. Go walk the neighborhood. My brothers, yeah, it was fun. It's been very fulfilling, dad life. What about you?
Good. Just busy with work and home life and wedding planning and all that fun stuff.
How is that wedding planning going, though?
It's going great, man. Going great. And then try to carve in a round of golf here or there when I can, you know?
From what I understand, you've been quite the bridezilla.
You're so full of it.
I hear you are a modern day Katherine Heigl, is what I've been hearing you referred to as.
You're so full of it.
True bridezilla. Yeah.
Look, man, always a groomsman, never a groom. It's my time. It's my day now.
Oh, dear God.
I actually want to set up a whole thing where we go pick out my suit and all the guys go and we get champagne and then we do brunch. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Champagne for your real friends and real pain for your sham friends. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's from that movie, 25th Hour, starring what's his name?
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. No, it was Burns. I don't remember his first name. Anthony
Ken.
I don't know. Ken Burns. Yes, the documentarian. He did it was right after his Vietnam documentary.
That's what I thought. Got it. Cool.
Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, no, it's all been good things, man. We did make it out to the game this past weekend, which was great. That's the first game we have been to in a while. We've been in a stretch with Atlanta United lately where the past few games have all been Wednesday night games. So,
yeah.
And for it to be the last home game, it was, it had the makings of a really great game. Set and setting was awesome. They had the roof open, even with the light drizzle, which was really cool. Cause as you sat like in your seats, once it started getting dark, you could kind of see this mist coming down below the halo board as it came down into the stadium. And it was kind of windy and cool inside the bins, which we haven't really had. It was like this mix between Bobby Dodd and Mercedes-Benz Stadium in a way. But like I said, the atmosphere was great for the game Saturday. And overall, I thought the game was pretty good. You kind of should have had a better result there. And hopefully the team will lock things down as we look ahead to playoffs. If we make it to playoffs at this point, it's anyone's guess. But yeah, it was nice going to the Benz and getting to see that last home game. What
yeah,
might be
awesome.
Our last home game this year. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, in all likelihood, right? I mean, we have one match left for the rest of the season. Is it on Saturday? Sunday. Decision day, right?
Yeah.
Everybody plays at the exact same time on Sunday.
Is it this Sunday or is it next Sunday? I couldn't remember. I think it's next Sunday.
Yeah, you're
right.
It's the 7th.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. We have two
matches.
Oh, no,
that is.
Why am I crazy? I'm stupid.
Yeah, we got Wednesday night against Red Bulls, and then this Sunday is...
fucking Wednesday night games.
Yeah. So...
And that's a big match too, because Red Bulls are surging. They're above us, right? Are they in third now? Something like that.
I don't
know.
Think
Wait,
so.
No, they're below us again.
Yeah.
And I can't keep up with this shit.
NYCFC
man.
Jumped up to third, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And
this
then exactly what I said was going to happen. Orlando City has already begun their descent. So we'll see, man. This Wednesday night really decides whether I think. If we win Wednesday, we're in. I haven't checked all of the other opponents to see like if that really locks it in or not.
I don't think it does because, yeah.
I don't know how it works because who else would be able to jump us at that point? It's got to be, right? Because DC's got one match.
DC
left.
Could – DC – Yeah, you're
but
right. They only have the one match left.
Yeah,
you're right.
So if we win and we win against Red Bulls, we're in. But we have to win Wednesday night. Like a draw would put us at 48 and them at 47, and it would come down to Sunday's match between the two.
Remove all doubt. Yeah.
Which is crazy. I mean, the fact that Atlanta has left a total of by my recollection. I think it's been four games where Atlanta had the lead and settled with either a loss or a draw. So at a minimum has left 8 points on the table. Had Atlanta just maintained in those matches, they'd be sitting in second place in the East right now.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. It really
and right
is.
Now they're on the cusp of not making the cut.
Yeah. It's yeah. Good grief. I mean, and then you look at Nashville. We have as many wins as Nashville does. They have 17 draws.
Yeah.
They have drawn. They could draw more than half of their matches.
Carlos Rangel says a draw clinches a playoff spot. I'm trying to
see
how
fair.
That math works.
No, it does. Because that puts us at 48, and the next below the playoff line starts at 44 points. So we would be 1 point. Past that.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay. So yeah, we need to at least draw. A win definitely helps. A win puts us in contention to potentially have a home match if everything goes our way, right?
We definitely could. So NYCFC has to lose both matches. Well, I guess, or I say both matches, their last match.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have us on wins. So it's not even like if we. Yeah, I mean, we couldn't even win both matches and have them win and then finish above them. I don't think. I
don't think there's. Yeah, they'd have to lose because if we.
Yeah, their goal differential is a lot higher.
They'd have to lose, and we'd have to win both of ours. Yeah, because their goal differential is higher, even though we'd have the same amount of wins. Yeah.
Listen to Home Before Dark, where they're trying to piece together shit, looking at math on a table.
That's ridiculous, man.
Yeah, it's fun though. I mean, it hasn't. I don't feel like it's been this fun. Towards the end of the season, and maybe we just haven't been in this position. I feel like maybe 2019 we were, no, because we still finished with a home game in the playoffs. So yeah, I don't know, this is just fun to be a part of, as stressful as it is.
Hate it. Thanks, I hate it.
Yeah, just being just completely on tortellini time for the next.
So say that we win, either we win or draw, maybe we even lose, and we end up having to go to our final game, which for all intents and purposes, you assume that Atlanta locks it up Sunday at least with a result against Cincinnati.
FCC, yeah. No, I mean, there should be no doubt about that match. So, I mean, even if, like you say, even if we go into, if we shit the bed against Red Bulls, which we have been known to do in the regular season, we still do have a very, very, very winnable match on Sunday of next week.
Atlanta's results in recent weeks concern you at all, knowing that you're going to be likely on the road in your first round of playoffs and single game elimination?
Wait, say that again.
So does Atlanta's run of form in recent weeks say,
it worries me. Yeah, it definitely does. And it's not just, I don't think that we're not playing well, because what sucks is I feel like we're playing well. I just think that final product is not where it needs to be, which is probably the last thing you worry about. Like if somebody's going to start clicking, and if there's a part of the field where you feel like you don't have to worry so much throughout the entire stretch of the season, it's our new front four and the way that they're playing. And I think we're just in a weird stretch right now because, I mean, I think defensive lapses are going to happen in an MLS to have, I mean, those two draws, it wasn't like we were giving up 2-0 leads or 3-0 leads or 2-1s or 3-1s. Those were 1-0. And I mean, you're going to give up a goal here and there, or even giving up one per match in MLS is not so bad whenever you have a really high power front line that's known to bag a few goals on their own. I mean, I think even Araujo's at 5 goals, or is he at 4 goals?
4.
Is he at 4 for the season, in 12 games for a winger is pretty damn good.
And almost ties his personal best with Leo, which was 5. So
yeah. So, and then Moreno is going to score a goal or two every couple games. And Joseph Martinez has been coming back into his own. And I just, you know what? I think I've just talked myself into not being that worried about going on the road in the playoffs, because I think those guys are going to start firing. And I think the rest of the team is doing what they're supposed to be doing. The chances just aren't falling.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why I was so disappointed against that, to give up that Toronto game, because Toronto played like garbage that entire match. They subbed out all of arguably their best players. You know, we talked about the previous match against Toronto where they came back in the second half and Atlanta looked like they were struggling, and that was because they put in all their best players. Well, here Toronto pulls out all their best players going into the second half with Pozuelo and Josie coming out, and you've got a guy with 4 MLS career games slotting home the equalizing goal in the 90th minute.
Assisted by Orlando City great Dom Dwyer.
I didn't realize he was with Toronto now.
Yeah, he's definitely used goods at this point.
Yeah. He's coming in as a sub against with the worst team in the league right now. That's pretty terrible.
Yeah, that team is absolutely in shambles. I mean, letting Greg Vanney go and then just, I don't know what's going on with that team, because they're just absolute trash. They're just not good. Yeah. They're very bad. I was in the position where I turned the game off to go do bedtime, and it was 1-0.
Yeah.
And do you know if I'm talking about the NYCFC game or am I talking about the TFC
exactly.
game? Which one am I talking about? Because it happened exactly the same for me both times where I'm doing bedtime and I ask Google what the score is. And it's 1-1 and, you know, let out an audible fuck. And
Yeah, it's been really great. That said, I think that the front four are arguably the best front four that this team has seen in its history at this point. Like, I mean,
he just said Gressel sucks, guys.
Taking into account Gressel, Miggy, the MLS Cup run, those four of Barco, Moreno, Araujo, and Joseph are lighting it up in a way that I have not seen a front four for Atlanta's attacking do in years past. And you still have lateral threats with Bello and Lennon on the wings being able to cross a ball in if need be to give you a little bit more of a dynamic approach. Yes, Atlanta's given up a lot of the midfield as a result, and you've got Josetu having to play holding midfield, and I think that that'll probably switch over to Sosa this weekend Wednesday likely against Red Bulls. I could see that happening because I think Red Bulls are probably going to press a little bit more. And I think that Sosa's defense is probably a little bit better than Josetu's is. But that said, Josetu's been holding pretty well there and trying to maintain that position without getting sucked into pressing really high with the other four that continually push the issue past midfield line.
No, yeah, I agree. And Josetu, like, he stands out to me as like one guy who has, I mean, he's been kind of flying under the radar as one of our more like important players, I feel like, in the midfield. I felt like he's been, since he's gotten healthy, what would that be, like halfway through the season, I felt like he's done a really solid job for us. And like a role I feel like he wasn't necessarily brought here to do, or that I don't think. Yeah, it definitely seemed like he was brought in to do more attacking. But Carlos Rangel brings up, he says, hopefully Joseph finds his finishing boots soon. Chances are being created, just need to finish.
That was tough to watch, man. That was tough to see him all game just come up short time. Yeah. I mean, it started off the jump with him, and I think he had what, six or seven shots throughout the night and couldn't get on the end of any of them.
No worse miss to me than the breakaway that Araujo had that he put across the box to wide open Joseph in stride. And that was him, right? That was Araujo that passed that. Yeah. And Joseph just skied it. It was, man.
That one was about an inch in front of Joseph. Like he lunged for it. He played onto the ball. He threw everything he could at it. And I just don't know that he was ever going to be able to get into it unless he was in a run of form where he had an extra little bit of juice in the tank to have the pace to get there. But the other one where he gets the ball right in front of goal and Kamara comes up and picks his pocket, that one was just like, what are we doing, man? Come on. You've got it right there. Just slot it home. Finish it.
Yeah. So. It's definitely difficult to watch. And nobody's going to be more frustrated than he is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it might work in our favor in that frustration being taken out the last two games of the season. I hope so anyway. I don't know if – I guess we have seen him in back-to-back matches to, you know, a midweek match and a weekend match. So, hopefully we see him up in New Jersey this weekend. Or, I mean, Wednesday.
He wasn't the only one, though. I mean, Barco got robbed, too. That goal that he put in that got pulled back. A shirt sleeve offside. Man, that was a great piece of work between him and Joseph. Man, that was great to see.
That finish was just top notch, man.
It really looked like
he toe-balled it. It was pretty great, though. I didn't expect that to go in. And then I was very, very disappointed whenever they took it back.
It was really cool seeing all the little chips and dunks that Atlanta was doing between those front four this week. I noticed that a lot more than they have in matches in the past, I feel like, where there's a lot of one touches, dummies, little chips over the top. Araujo seeing, like, having the awareness and field vision to drop a dime in front of players. I mean, he had... There's some plays that took place in that game against Toronto that I don't think many people will talk about. Like, Arujo has a switch across the field to George Bello that lands right in front of his feet wide, which you rarely see, like a huge switch to just switch one side of the field to the other. And so for him to do that and then to pick Joseph out a couple times, then another time Moreno, surrounded by three defenders in the midfield, just turning around and running with it, and all the defenders just giving up and started walking because they had all gotten pulled out of position and screwed over. It was great.
Yeah. That, I mean, yeah, I think you're right in your estimation that this is the most talented. I don't even know necessarily it's the most talented, but it is like the most dangerous front four.
Most cohesive, we'll say.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, that cohesion is what makes them so dangerous because they – and it sucks because likely we're not going to see Barco there next year. We'll probably see Thiago Almeida in there in his place, and hopefully it's just like a plug-and-play type of thing. But – yeah, just watching them play and just the chemistry that they've gotten, even like 12 matches in from Luis coming in from Lille. Yeah, just I feel like his command and his comfortability on the ball, and just I think he just looks like he feels at home on this team.
He is definitely my favorite player in this lineup right now.
Yeah, he's just unreal to watch.
He really is. He's been one of those mid-year signings that. Yeah, it's just, it's definitely changed the face of this team along with what Pineda's done and everything else. Joseph getting back into some run of form and getting a little bit more healthy. But Luis coming in when he did, I think, has just lit this team on fire in a way that we haven't seen in a long time. And it's really cool to see it.
Yeah. Again, credit where credit's due. You know, we dogged the front office quite a bit at the beginning of the season and towards the middle of the season. And I feel like so far they got the higher right with Pineda, and then they definitely had a home run signing Araujo. So
yeah,
it's looking forward to. I mean, I don't want to say I'm looking forward to next season, but I mean, I am really looking forward to being able to see what
it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like, does that front four stay intact? Because if not, that'll be really interesting to see. And I don't think it will. I really think Barco's gone. Barco's had such a showing the second half of this season, and then what he's done on international duty. I think it's going to be time for him to move on. I believe.
Yeah, I think what we have in our favor is that the three out of the front four, not including Barco, they are all of an age and a point in their career where they're here. And I don't know that they're going to make that jump back to you. Cause I mean, aside from Moreno, you know, Joseph and Luis have already played over in Europe. Araujo won a title with Lille. I don't know, man.
If Luis stays on the trajectory he is right now with Atlanta next year in a starting position with a full season. Cause I think that's honestly why he didn't really get, again, this is from a idiot that doesn't know anything about EPL, much less League One over in France or Ligue 1, whatever.
Ligue 1.
It seems like because he didn't get a whole lot of play time, I feel like a lot of clubs just didn't want to take the chance versus players that they had a much more visual acuity to based on their play time and what they were able to see on the field. I think if Araujo gets a full season next year where he can run it up like he has been in just a couple of matches this year and has a breakout season like what Miggy did in that MLS Cup run, like I wouldn't be surprised to see him go back, man.
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at, and I thought he had played a decent amount for Lille. He played 28 matches, and I mean, he had 28 appearances. Granted,
he did not start. He was not a starter.
He's like a super sub on a championship team, though, and it's pretty substantial because if you think about, they're kind of underdogs to everybody's underdogs to PSG in that league. So for them to be able to topple them and for him to be an impact substitution I guess you're right. There's no reason he couldn't go back. Joseph, I don't think has any desire to go to Europe.
I don't think so either.
I think the front office did right by him, and I think he's going to stick around as long as we'll keep him. And then I don't think Moreno goes anywhere either. I think he's just going to end up being an integral part of the squad.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, for a guy who had second year yips, I feel like at the beginning of the season, he's definitely, you know, over the past, I would say probably 15 15, 20 matches has really kind of just found his stride. And I am less and less concerned about him being in the lineup these days.
He's just, agreed. There's not a whole lot of players that I feel like are a liability right now in the lineup.
No, not at all.
I think it's just a matter of getting them to lock things down and to not take their eye off the ball whenever you're in those last 10 minutes, especially with a lead, man. You've got to, with a lead or right after score. I mean, everybody knows that the first 2 minutes after you score a goal or concede a goal are the worst 2 minutes of a match. And so that's one thing. But the last 10 minutes with a lead, you've got to, I mean, especially in the way that the goals have come, like this weekend's wasn't a set piece, but it might as well have been. It came a couple touches after the set piece, and you just let a guy walk free on the back post. Like, how many times has that happened this season?
Yeah, you know? I don't know why. So, and I have to go back and look at it a little closer. I was trying to pay attention to it a little bit more today, but to kind of dissect what happened there. It's just, you have Mulroney, who is marking their sole striker, or I guess not sole striker. Dom Dwyer is also playing striker, I guess, but he's Mulroney, substitute winger, is in the box subbing like a target man. Like, I don't, marking a target man. And I'm not sure why. It definitely, I don't know. We didn't clear our lines well enough on that, I felt like, because by the time that ball hit back in, I feel like the defender should have been further up. Because I think,
I'll give Nelson credit. He had a great game all night, I felt like. Like, he picked a couple of pockets throughout the night. He's who ends up throwing the cross into Dwyer right on the head to get him to drop it down to the other side of the box. But all that said, that's pretty boilerplate mistake, man. Like, somebody's got to cover that back post. And it can't be Moreno, because not only was it Dwyer there, but I think Moreno got stuck in no man's land because the other guy, starts with an S, younger guy, was crashing the box at the same time. And I feel like he just got stuck trying to cover two people and couldn't manage both. And Dwyer walks free, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's – sorry. Yeah, that's – Mulroney missed – or he lost Dwyer on the back post. Yeah. Or on the – sorry, on the far side whenever the ball came back in. Yeah. Yeah. It is frustrating to watch, but it's, I mean, it could be a learning experience, but I mean, Carlos Rangel says defending set pieces has always been a weakness of this team since 2017. I feel like it's a lot of teams' weaknesses though. I mean, I don't know. It's definitely a gut punch. I think that, you know, Pineda's going to, I have every ounce of confidence that he is going to take this, and this is going to be a learning experience for the team moving forward, because we're a lot better than that on defense. To your point, like, we just have to pay attention the last 10 minutes and not lose track of the game.
I think Wednesday has the potential to be a really, really ugly game for both teams. I think both teams are going to come out swinging, knowing that more or less this game is going to determine whether or not they make it in or not. You know, because Red Bulls have to finish with Nashville. And I don't think that they're going into Nashville expecting to pull a result. You know, they're at home against Atlanta with a playoff spot on the line at the cutoff point, you know, and their last game is against the number two team in the East. I think that this game, and Atlanta coming off of that Toronto result too, was something to prove there. I think that this game could potentially see one, if not two, red cards, honestly. Like, it's been a heated game in seasons past where tempers flare up, and I would not be surprised to see it happen Wednesday night.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's always a hotly contested match whenever we play them. It's
hard to believe we still haven't beat them in the regular season.
Yeah, it's nuts. Going on, what is this, year five?
5 years, yep.
Wow, yeah.
That's really hard to believe.
Yeah. Are they they're the only team we haven't beaten? Yeah, they're the only team we have not beaten in the regular season.
Yeah.
But we've beaten them whenever it counted. So, I mean.
Yeah. Look, as much as I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, like, Atlanta can't close games, because just as much as I'm talking about them giving up a lead in the last 10 minutes, I am damn proud of what they did against Inter Miami, being down 1-0 and coming back not only to scratch out a draw, but to go on and win it 2-1, because that's huge, man. Like, if I had to take one over the other, I'll take giving up a draw in the last 10 minutes every time if it means that they're going to come back and fight back being down 1-0 to win 2-1.
You know? No, that's fair. That's fair. Brittany S. correcting us. We have not beaten Seattle.
Oh, wow.
In the regular season. We do only play them once a year, too. So not like Red Bulls. In the trap, let's see. Carlos Rangel is saying we need to ditch the three in the back. In his opinion, Anton, I'm talking about Anton Walks, his level has dropped some, and we could use an extra man in the midfield to balance things out, especially against Red Bulls. Brittany is saying he's a liability currently or lately. Yeah, I mean, and Steven Perales calling for maybe some George Campbell action, which I would not be opposed to.
Not at all.
I think we're going to see a lot of him next year whenever he replaces Miles Robinson, wherever Miles ends up going.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we get into that position against Red Bulls that we don't see a different substitution that I think Brittany S. or somebody had mentioned earlier on tonight, which is don't bring in Mulroney in that situation. You bring in George Campbell to close it out and hold a back line. You know, you get a bigger body inside the box, and that situation doesn't happen most likely. You know?
And Steven Perales saying something to that effect too. Maybe we should add the fourth center back the last 10 minutes, regardless of the score, just for the remaining games of the season. Yeah. We don't play scared and we just go balls to the wall the last two matches and just, you know, hope that NYCFC, did we already say who is NYCFC playing on Sunday?
Nashville.
No, Philly. NYCFC.
Oh, I thought you said Red Bull. Sorry.
So NYCFC very, very likely could lose that match against Philly, who's in third right now. And, and then if we win both of these matches, we could be, you know, seeing, the seventh place team at home in Atlanta.
Which could be Red Bulls, which would be even more interesting.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. My only qualm
drama.
My only qualm with that is that Kamar Lawrence and Tito are no longer with those respective squads.
Yeah, no kidding.
I miss their tiffs.
Is Michael Bradley done?
I don't know. We were talking about that the other day because Angie was like, "How old is Jozy Altidore?" And I don't think he's even really that old. I think he's just been a pro since he was like 17
forever.
Years old. Yeah. I think he's probably only 30. He's 31 years old. Yeah. At 16 years old, he was playing for Red Bulls. I'm pretty sure. Michael Bradley. I want to say Michael Bradley's like 34.
He's 34 or 35.
Yeah. Yeah. He's my age. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if somebody asked if he retired. I don't think he. Yeah, I don't think he has.
Yeah, I don't know either. I noticed that I didn't see him in the lineup, and maybe he's resting or something. It's not like Toronto's got much left in the tank or in the season to play for, so I don't know.
Nothing there. I wonder if they hang on to Pozuelo. I guess.
I mean, it was nice to see them playing a lot of their academy players. I mean, sounds like that's kind of the next step for them going into next season. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, and Joe Johnstone mentions they've got the Canadian Cup going on right now too. So
wait, what?
I forgot about that.
What is that? Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I thought he was, a CCL berth is up for grabs.
Yeah. It's always a given that Toronto or Montreal ends up locking it up, but there's a bunch of other teams up there that they play against. A
bunch
that
of teams I never heard of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Pacific, whoever that is, beat Vancouver. So, you know, Vancouver's in like just absolute the worst timeline right now. that's terrible. And Montreal had to beat some team called Forge. Just a
it's
bunch
not
of blacksmiths.
Like, I don't think it's like the U.S. Open Cup, Joe Johnstone, because I feel like there's way more teams in the U.S. Open Cup at a professional level than what's going to be in that Canadian.
Well, I feel like, I mean, level of quality, it's the same analogy for everything Canadian to American, right? Like, it's going to be, there's going to be a precipitous drop off. Just like top heavy. Just like a bunch of blacksmiths, this team Forge.
It's like the U.S. Open Cup in name only, just like Canadian bacon. Everything else completely different.
Yeah, that ain't bacon. That ain't bacon. That's ham. And you can't convince me otherwise. It's disgusting. But yeah, Montreal, it took them beating Forge in penalties 8-7. And then Toronto's got Pacific on Wednesday. So,
riveting stuff.
Thank you for enlightening me, Kevin. That is
riveting stuff.
It is absolutely riveting stuff.
To be fair, I can't take credit for it. I knew it was a thing because they talked about it during the broadcast, and Joe Johnstone mentioned it though whenever he was in the trap talking about it. So,
yeah. Here is your all-time table, and there. Oh, geez. This has been going on this is the 14th season that they've done this. And there are only three teams.
12 teams?
Three teams that have more than 10 wins.
Shocker.
That have more than 10 wins. And then.
It's like the SEC, but everyone wants to claim it's the best conference.
Who is the Auburn? I guess Cavalry FC. I got 5 wins out of 10.
It's like I'm in the SEC. Shut up, Vandy.
Otherwise known as
SEC Kentucky. Nobody cares.
Otherwise known as Forge FC. They play at Tim Hortons Fields, and I think that's supposed to be a really good coffee place.
It
from
is
what
pretty
I understand.
Solid. Good old Timmy Ho's.
I haven't had. Where have you had Timmy Ho's? Up in Buffalo?
Yeah, man.
That's right. It's basically
it's
Canada.
Right across the water from Toronto.
It's the good part of Canada.
It's Buffalo. Right across the waterfall from Toronto.
what's your favorite city in Canada? Buffalo. Definitely. It's the best.
Every time we land, that's Stacy's got to stop as soon as we get out of the airport. So,
yeah. Is it their donuts or is it their coffee? Is it both? Like, what is.
Okay. It's okay. You know, I'm not going to say it's the greatest coffee in the world, but for a chain, it's pretty solid.
I'm texting Stacy. Pretty solid. To let her know to come in.
It's pretty solid. I'm not going to put it above like a good, like, Rev or something like that. You know, it is a chain at the end of the day, but
no better coffee place in Atlanta,
but
the Atlanta area than Rev.
At the same time, I think that there's something to be said about coffee places in the Northeast, like, because they have to make good coffee because it's so fucking cold up there that like Dunkin' Donuts is substantially better up there than it is down here, supposedly. I think that also translates to Tim Hortons. Like, I think that's why they're not just scorching everything and letting it sit and tasting like soap, like the places down here do more than that.
So you're saying like Tim Hortons, to get really good Tim Hortons, you got to go up to like none of it or like
Nova Scotia. Like,
yeah. Nova Scotia. Go to Nova Scotia. That's where the good, Tim Hortons is. Yeah.
That's where the good
Tim Hortons or Bob Evans. What generic white guy name restaurant is better? Is Bob Evans? I think Bob Evans is pretty solid.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty solid. Just, yeah, we need to do a bracket like that again. Like Shoney's versus Perkins. Like what?
Shoney's versus Ryan's.
Ooh, yeah. Fire Mountain. Was versus Fire Quincy's. Mountain a Sumter thing?
Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
Okay. Yeah. Quincy's. That's one that
nobody knows about. A Quincy's, baby.
Boggles the mind.
Quincy's versus Golden Corral.
When
you
I
got
bring
your Ryan's versus Shoney's.
The big fat East rolls from Quincy's were so good. Yeah. Like
Logan's versus Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Logan's wins because you can throw the peanuts on the ground. Actually, I don't know if you could probably do that at Texas Roadhouse too.
Yeah. Anywhere like that, I think you're fine.
Yeah. Western Sizzlin'. We had one of those in a gas station by campus at Francis Marion, and it was like a 20-ounce steak for $10. It's like
quality.
You gotta do it. Yeah, you know it's gonna be good. That's A5 Wagyu that you're eating.
That's quality meat. Yeah. It's just it's Wagyu, but it's all fat. Like that's all, that's marbling right there. No, that's just fat.
That's not marble. That's a pearl. Like
this is just a gristle steak.
Oh, Pizza Hut versus Papa John's. We did have, I told you about this, but we had the crazy calzone from Little Caesars.
I'm very jealous.
We're pretty close to that
ninja
time of the
star
night.
Of a pizza.
It is.
That ninja star of a raw dough pizza.
It is quite good. It was ready in 6 minutes. It was.
I love a good soft batch dough.
The Julian.
I love a good soft batch pizza dough.
I love that they're trying to sound fancy by saying they julienne the pepperoni to put in the crust.
That's just the scraps.
It's just pepperoni scraps.
It's just the leftover pepperoni that fell off all the other pizzas whenever they cut it.
Yeah, it's like Tombstone. Like Tombstone, they take the ends of the pepperoni and chop them up and put them in the sauce. Like,
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's a pro move too. I haven't watched really any Red Bulls outside of the matches that we played with them this season.
I got to be honest. I haven't watched any matches outside of our matches this season. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. No Dan Lowe tonight.
No Dan Lowe tonight.
He's saving it up for his procedure tomorrow.
Just charging his shot.
He's charging his shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we need to bring the offside trap back.
Oh, yeah. That's the only way we're going to find anything out.
Yeah,
it'd
be the nice impetus.
I have no idea. I really have no idea what to say about Red Bulls.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be fine.
I know we will beat the pants off of FC Cincinnati, so I think we're in the playoffs.
I feel confident about playoffs.
If there's one team that's not going to play spoiler in MLS, it's going to be FC Cincy or Vancouver on the West. Mm. So I'm not necessarily worried about that match
True.
At all.
True, I agree on that front. Yeah, I definitely do.
So every game on Sunday is at 3:30. Is that correct? Oh, no. The Western Conference games are all at 6. The Eastern Conference games are all at 3:30. I forgot we do that. It's not like EPL where it's all 10 o'clock the same day.
Yeah.
So
we might be doing some spaces on Twitter. I jumped into Joe Johnstone's one day. Maybe like post game spaces, especially
fully nude, right? Joe's spaces.
What?
Joe's space fully nude, right?
What are you saying right now?
I'm saying Joe puts on fully nude Twitter spaces, right?
No.
No?
No. I don't
think so. That's not what I heard.
I joined the wrong party. Oh, man. I thought it was just a bear club. I thought it was just to share your love of bear cubs.
Oh, I thought this was at that. I thought this was a Chicago Bears fan club. Well, I mean, some of them are, but no, it's all audio, right? Spaces.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's was the joke I was trying to make, but I was starting to second guess myself.
Now.
Yeah.
I see it now.
Yeah. You can hear it.
Got it.
Yeah.
You really hear the way it slaps.
It still slaps.
It still slaps. Say what you will about Joe Johnstone, but his face is slap.
I like to preface that about anybody I talk about. Say what you will about this person. Say what you want about Kevin, but
his face is slap.
His face is slap. Yeah, I saw that I still get like alerts occasionally about, I don't go on it, but like I did see they opened up spaces to everybody.
Yeah, it's like built into the UI now. So
yeah.
So yeah, maybe we'll do that post game this week. Maybe Wednesday night, hop on for a few minutes or something. We'll see.
Yeah, that means I have to install that app. Wait, can we? I don't have an account outside of the show account.
You can do it from the show, and I can join from my personal.
Okay.
Nothing else. We'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you can join from multiple locations on the same account.
Yeah, probably not. And like Kendrick was saying, hopefully the Braves aren't still playing on Wednesday night.
Oh boy. So yeah, I mean, we can't go a whole Atlanta podcast, whether it's Atlanta United or otherwise, and not talk about this run of the Braves lately, man.
Yeah. Holy it's weird. I don't know if you knew this, but the Astros were my boyhood.
Oh club. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been meaning to ask you because I knew that they were. So
yeah, I was a diehard Astros fan. Cause growing up military, no ties to anywhere outside my dad's hometown.
You were the best at cheating on quizzes growing up too. So now it makes total sense.
Yeah. I mean, you were doing it too. You just never got caught. So it's, yeah,
that makes me the best.
that's the whole thing. So a couple things about it. So yes, I was a huge I just found a team to glom onto. I really love Jeff Bagwell and then the Killer Bees, him and Craig Biggio, later, you know, Lance Berkman, Derek Bell, so on and so forth. Stopped watching baseball, I don't even know, probably like 10 years ago or so. So I didn't even get to share in the spoils whenever they won the World Series that year that they quote unquote cheated. I used quotes for that because I genuinely think they just got caught.
I think it's a lot more prevalent. It's like doping in Tour de France, right?
Yeah. Right. It's not Lance Armstrong. Say what you will about to use that phrase again. Say what you will about Lance Armstrong, but
He doesn't have much slap. Used to have a lot more slap. A little less now.
I totally agree with him. What he was saying, that he wasn't taking performance enhancing drugs to gain an advantage. He was leveling the playing field. I don't even know. And I hated the Braves growing up, and I think it was just because I was trying to be defiant in the face of all the kids around me.
Yeah,
growing up in Alabama and South Carolina, that were all Braves fans. And I did not like Chipper Jones. I don't know if I'll get grief for that. I just was not a fan of the guy. But anyway, I've definitely like reattached to the Braves going to games, or attached to the Braves going to games for the past couple of years, and kind of reconnected a little bit with baseball. And it's been fun to watch them though.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's tough. It's tough because after we put Florence to bed and we have a couple hours lately, like it's been a nice like escape to go watch TV. Like we got Succession to catch up on and Morning Show, but watching the Braves, it's been awesome. But at the same time, I've just been waking up on the couch.
It's like listening to it's like listening to an audiobook going to bed. It's great.
Yeah. It's tough, man. Like, I have a really hard time watching TV regardless at night. I fall asleep on the couch constantly and I'm constantly getting woken up on the couch. It's when Joe Buck, that man can talk you to sleep. So but it's been fun. Like
it's been a really fun ride.
So sure. you've been a Braves fan for quite a while, right?
Since I moved to Atlanta, and I won't claim to be, you know, I think I won't say, I know that there are a lot of others that are way bigger fans than I am by all means. I watched just about every game the first couple of years after moving to Atlanta. And then during that big rebuild process, whatever, Snitker came in and they relocated up to Cobb and everybody got traded, from Hayward and Oso Blanco. I mean, everybody got sold off except for Freddie, basically. I kind of fell out of it for a year or two. And then over the past couple of years, I mean, I've watched a handful of games, and it's certainly been a little bit more over the past 2 years, I'd say, with COVID and everything else. But, you know, it's been a lot more fun watching them in a World Series, I can tell you that. So
yeah, I mean, you talk about that selling off period. The front office is looking pretty good a couple years later after
no
that.
Kidding. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I think, yeah, it was just sort of a big downhill slide for me watching them after the wild card infield fly rule and then the mass sell-off and the move to Cobb and everything else. And then, but yeah, now, I mean, like I said, over the past couple of years, I've certainly been a little bit more following them. The trouble I have with baseball is there's too many fucking games. It's just so hard to watch 160 games a season, and you feel like none of them really matter. It's like the first 20 matter and the last 30 matter, and then it's all playoffs, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if they'll do what
in the middle that are just kind of, it's a Wednesday, half of the team's hungover, whatever.
Yeah. I was surprised that the, like, I don't know. I mean, NFL just extended their season one game, right? Is it 17 this year, right?
I think so. That's because they're trying to get that London market.
Yeah, basketball pulled the – not everybody's playing a game in London this year, right?
I don't know. I know they've got a handful there.
And Mexico City, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's happening this year, but you saw NBA pull back 10 games last year. I think they're back to 82 again this year. I don't know. I guess you just miss out on revenue.
I went to my first Hawks game last week. That's huge.
Oh, yeah.
You don't talk about watching the Braves. I've been to a ton of Braves games. I've watched Braves over the past 10 years. I've never been into basketball.
That's pretty surprising. Well, not surprising that you haven't been into basketball, but that you haven't even made your way to a Hawks game until last week. Yeah.
No. And I mean, I'll admit, I definitely bandwagoned the hell out of their run last year in the playoffs. But yeah, I got to go to my first Hawks game last week, which was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I could see myself enjoying basketball more than I maybe gave it credit for, just because of the length of the game. It's just like soccer. Like, there's a very low barrier to entry whenever you can get in and out in about 2 hours, 2.5 tops, you know?
And I think it's going to go down even more, I feel like, now with the new foul rules, that there's not – I think the games are going to be shortened. I mean, it might be kind of fractional, but like, I think it's going to be a little shorter and a little more predictable now. The longest 20 minutes in sports are the last 2 minutes of a basketball game.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, that's,
I feel like that with the last quarter of football games, man. We're sitting there watching the Bills game yesterday, and in the first half is over in an hour. And I'm like, oh man, how is these games always so long? Second half happens and it just starts dragging.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes forever. American football has become increasingly harder for me to watch over the past
especially coming off of, because it's always, I forget about it because that lull from February until Labor Day, when you're just watching soccer or basketball, basically, maybe some baseball in there as well, but mostly soccer, and you're out in 2 hours, and then all of a sudden football starts. You're like, yes, so glad it's football season again. And then it's,
and then you wake up on the couch and you're like, what?
I got to spend a whole day doing this.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It kind of is a whole day affair, right? It's
Yeah.
And then that's one thing that has kind of frustrated me about the Braves games, the World Series being on it, starting at like 10 after 8 every night.
Dude, that's brutal. I mean, like, game last night finished at 1 o'clock the morning.
Yeah.
Like I said, I watched until Houston was up 7-4, 7-5. I forget what it was at that point. But yeah, I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I got to be up at 5. I can't do this.
Yeah. No, it's tough. It's impossible. Yeah. Okay. Steven Perales, I don't know if he's talking about the Braves, Atlanta United, maybe both.
Steven Perales is sick of us not talking about Atlanta United. Yeah. Shut up and talk about Sox. Shut up and stick to soccer. But I think he's saying 2-0 Atlanta United. I saw a couple other score predictions in here. Let's see what everyone else has got. Brittany S. pulling down with 1-0 Red Bulls. I'm just being negative, so I don't have too many expectations. I thought I saw another one in here too, but maybe not. What are you thinking, Tim? What are you leaning towards for?
I'm with Steven Perales. I think a heavy autocorrect and go 2-0. I like that. I like that call.
I like 1-0 and they hold the line the last 10 minutes and prove us all that wrong and that they can do it. Elliot Beaven, Atlanta 2-1.
And we get a and then hopefully on Monday, whenever Dan James returns with us, we will be prepping for a home match.
Unlike Atlanta United, I think that the selections for both of these two games doesn't matter for points, that neither of you can catch me in the standings. So it doesn't matter whatsoever.
Am I close to second at least at this stretch?
I think you and Dan are still tied, actually.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll definitely pull out the vault. To be fair, the selections are a little unfair because I don't think that you and Dan recorded any shows without me this season.
Nope.
You've
been the mainstay.
Exactly. However, I've had some good picks. Early on, I had some good picks. I may have faltered towards the back end.
Yeah,
I was the one calling losses when everybody else was bought in. I saw it.
Kevin was Heinze out last season.
We'll pull out the vault questions and stuff next week whenever Dan comes back, at least. But yeah, my throne has to remain intact. So
yeah.
Anything else? You getting back in the workshop lately?
Yeah, I'm actually working on a little free library that I was commissioned to make back in the spring. And then baby happened. So
then you made a person.
I made a person.
You made a little person.
We made a person. We made a little person. Yeah, not a free person. Free.
Give it time.
Free in the sense that she is a human being, an American. But yeah, working on, it's not a book library. It's a free art library. So the person that I'm making it for is artist who is very much into that free art community, which is, if you guys don't know, I guess it's still a big thing in Atlanta.
I think so.
A lot of artists will do these drops of their pieces of work to kind of spread the love, have people, it's like geocaching for people who don't know. Yeah. It would take pictures of it out in the wild and then post it and then have somebody pick it up. The idea behind this being the person that commissioned me to do it is going to have the artists. I'm doing it unfinished. It's just going to be pine and plywood. And then the artists are going to come and paint and decorate the nice. Library. Yeah.
So
it's going to be, yeah, it's pretty decent size. Going to be happy to see it come to fruition. Yeah. It's starting to get out there a little more. I have some other stuff, have a couple more commissions of cutting boards and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Awesome.
You've been drawing? No?
No. I wanted to, man. I feel like every night something different. So
yeah.
I'm very happy not drawing for whatever that's worth. Whenever the time comes, I know it's there. So yeah, it's been okay. It's been really good. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm sure I'll pick something up once it starts getting cold. I can't go golf anymore. So
yeah.
It's been a great year for golf, guys. It's been a great year.
Been a great year. Unless you're my brother, then it's been a bad year for golf because you've having to play against Kevin the whole year.
Oh, man. It's all right. Kendrick got that smoke last year. He hadn't come back since.
Yeah, I heard he faked a case of COVID to get out of playing you again.
Patrick had a second kid to get out of it. They don't want it, man. They don't want it.
Hey. I come into those. I'm playing best ball. I'm playing Kevin's best ball. I'm playing Kevin's ball. I'm not even hitting off the tee most of the time. I'm just hitting chip shots wherever Kevin's ball lands. So
that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, man. Well, while you are in the shop and commissions may or may not be open, where can the people find you?
Find me at Tim Herb on Instagram.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram as well, at TheArchitect. That's at @_ARC, TECT. Find us all on Twitter and never Instagram with the Home Before Dark tag, which is Home Before Dark. Wait, I just threw off everything by saying something different and I completely forgot. That's at Home Before Dark, before spelled B in the number 4. That's not our,
yes.
Is that
yes.
really our Twitter?
On Twitter, yes.
Yeah. That's how rarely I've been on Twitter lately.
Yeah.
So be sure to find us wherever you can. Like and subscribe. Give us a thumbs up. Leave us a rating or a review. We haven't gotten any reviews the past 2 years, I feel like, on iTunes. So
I don't know if I don't know if it's easy to leave podcast reviews as it used to be. Whenever it was iTunes.
That's right. That's right. They switched over their whole platform to podcasts and not iTunes.
Yeah, I don't know.
However you found us, be sure to tell a friend and come back next week. As always, be home before dark.
Bye, guys.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.